We're in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 through 24. Faithful soldiers finish well. Faithful soldiers finish well. If you would, stand for reading of the Word of God. We honor God's Word by standing when we read it. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak it boldly as I ought to speak. But you also may know my affairs and how I am doing. Tychius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. This is the Word of God. Please be seated. Now, as you know, the theme that of the last few weeks has been spiritual warfare. And we're going to be talking about praying in the Spirit and finishing this out. But our journey through the book of Ephesians is ending. Isn't it kind of sad that we're leaving this book? Quite a journey that we've been on. Just to bring you up to speed, the first three chapters, remember, were essentially doctrine. We went through some real, difficult sections on that, on election. In 1:4 it says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we'd be holy and without blame. You have to know that God is calling out a people throughout the world. And he's called you, he's touched your heart, and you've responded to the call of God, and you've come into the family of God. And you have become the elect of God, the ecclesia, the church, his own special people, his own family. And you need to know how really important it is that we conceptualize how much God loves us. And he wants us in his family. He wants to have fellowship with us. What a wonderful God. We talked about election. We talked about predestination, which simply means to determine beforehand that the elect would be sons of God. And the interesting thing about predestination, it is not who are the object of predestination, but what they are predestined to. The saved are predestined to. And there are three things that I see in Scripture. Number one, in Romans 8:26, is to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. So you are on a journey of confirmation, being conformed to the likeness of the Lord Jesus. You've been born again of the Spirit. That's called justification. Now for the rest of your life, until you reach the point of glorification, you are being set apart unto God, being more and more conformed to the likeness of Christ. I hope you're cooperating in that process, because God has you In a world of change, where you're changing, and the change is opposite than the world that you're living in. You're living more and more like Kingdom of Light people and less like Kingdom of Darkness people. Okay, that's predestination. We talked about adoption as sons, euios. We are mature, acting like our Father. We talked about salvation by grace through faith alone. And Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 are the quintessential verses on salvation by grace through faith. By grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves, as a gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. And we are God's workmanship. We are his poem in the Greek. We are his poem, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Once you're saved, then you are expected to do something within the family of God. So that's an expectation that you have. We believe in sola gratia, sola fide, sola Christus, sola scriptura, by faith alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and the authority of Scripture alone. We believe in the solas, folks. Alone Christ, alone grace, alone faith, nothing else added to the program. We learned that the church was built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. It's a firm foundation. It cannot be shaken. Remember what Jesus said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. I don't care how much the world comes at us. I don't care how much ISIS is in the picture. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can take that to the bank. It's on solid footing. And guess what? This solid foundation you are being fitted into. Remember, as stones being fitted into a building, into a temple. God is building it a structure, the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Jesus is himself is the cornerstone, and each one of us has been placed in to that building. It is a solid structure. We are a holy temple in the Lord. And then we learned about the mystery of the church, that Jew and Gentile would be in one body. And when Paul is mentioning this in Ephesians chapter 3, he burst out into praise. And he says these words, for this reason, verses 8 to 14, he's talking about the mystery of Jew and Gentile in the church together. And then he burst into praise. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He's building a family that we're part of, folks, a family that we're part of. We represent him as family members. Very important concept. Whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in your inner man. That is what God wants for you. Holy Spirit-filled strength to be able to walk this walk. That's what he wants for us. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled to all of the fullness of God. All of the fullness of God. Half-empty Christians are sad Christians, folks. Christians that are half connected with the world and half connected with God, half-empty Christians, not full Christians, are living difficult, struggling lives. Be filled with all of the fullness of God. And then there was a transition. In chapters 4 through 6, we started learning how to live out our faith. And the very first thing he starts in chapter 4, he says, we are to walk in unity. In the body of Jesus Christ, we are to walk in unity. Now, have we not seen disunity in this community? There has been a lot of disunity in the community of the Lord Jesus. Satan is an expert at destroying churches. He's an expert at having Christians wounded and off to the side by themselves, separated from the power of God, isolated. That's his goal, to get you off by yourself, of no value within this fight. Okay? We've come out of the kingdom of darkness. We are in the kingdom of light. And we are the kingdom of light going into the kingdom of darkness to disperse the darkness. And if we're off to the side, wounded, we can't do that very effectively. He's an expert at that. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And then he goes on to say he's given us spiritual gifts to use within the body. Remember, spiritual gifts are used to build one another up. To build one another up. Particularly in chapter 4, he talks about the equipping gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor, teacher. Equipping the saints for ministry. And he goes on to say some very poignant words here in 4:12. He says this. He's raised these up, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. You want to know what the pastor teacher's main job is? It's equipping the saints for ministry. Okay? It's not for, I've said this before, it's not for him to be real funny, although it's okay to have some humor in this thing. It's not for him to visitation, do all the stuff that pastors are usually labeled with is, the main thing that the pastor teacher does is equip the saints for ministry. Not that other things aren't involved, okay, but they are secondary. Primary is equipping the saints for ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And the reason that this is so important till we all come to, and here's our theme starting in chapter 4, the unity of the faith. The unity of the faith. There's so much division within the body of Christ. Jesus's goal is that we are one in faith. Not that we're ecumenical and compromising our walk, but that we are following the Lord Jesus based upon the precepts of his word, non-compromised walks, till we come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Oh, and he says, to a perfect man or a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And what is that talking about? Sanctification and becoming more and more and more like Jesus, that we should no longer, everyone in this room, should no longer be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Why? Because you have been taught the truths of the Word of God. And when someone comes with something that's off, your little Holy Spirit, little thing up the back of your head like the Doberman, thing straight up and go, whoa, I don't know what you're saying. I don't know where it's at, but it's wrong. The Spirit of God is bearing witness with my spirit, and I will find out because I'm a Berean searching for truth. Yeah. With every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Folks, it's out there. The trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Oh, he wants us to walk in unity. He wants us to walk equipped. And then he goes on to say, he talks about the new man. The new man. The old man has been crucified. You were crucified. The old man has been crucified in Romans 6:6. The old man was crucified with Christ. And the saved man is the new man that's coming forward. And how is the new man supposed to walk? In 4:25, he puts away lying, anger, no corrupt words. Has your language changed since you came into the body of Christ? Do you start to catch yourself when all of a sudden you're going at the guy that's driving next to you, making you go crazy? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We are told to walk in love. We are to have no fellowship with darkness. This is the new man. There's supposed to be mutual submission within the body of Christ. Hupotasso, remember that was the name, that we sublimate our own desires, our own goals and that for other people within the body. And then they went right in after that to talk that wives are to submit to their husbands. Same word, hupotasso. And then husbands, the way that they submit is to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That's how the wife submit, husband submits. And then children were to submit to the parents. And then the dads were given a warning. I don't know if you remember what it was, but not to exasperate your children. Dad, you have a tremendous responsibility that we learned about. Not to exasperate, frustrate your children. Slaves and masters we talked about. And then it transitioned into a new man in the armor of God. And the reason that was so important was that the new man that is born again of the Spirit is now a target of the enemy. Because if he can bring you down, he's going to bring others down with you. He's going to get you off to the side. And remember, this attack is from a ruthless enemy. And we must, and remember, we've talked about the armor of God. We must put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. And now this week, Paul's going to instruct us that the battle is ongoing against the hordes of hell. And believe me, it's all unleashed. As we get closer to the end, you can see the tumult in the physical world. That is a result of the tumult in the spiritual world. Remember, our battles is not against flesh and blood, but kingdoms and principalities and powers. So when you see tumult in the world, think about exaggerated demonic forces and activity that's going on in the world. They go hand in hand. And he's instructing us on how to deal with us, how to finish well in this milieu of mess that we're living in, called end-time earth. That's what we are. We're an end-time earth. If you didn't know, that's where we are. How do we finish well an end-time earth? And he talks about prayer and faithfulness to proclaim the gospel. That's what we are to do. Wherever our feet touch, as kingdom of light people, we proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Whether this is in your home, whether it's in your work, whether it's with your friends, whether it's on whatever it is, that is our duty. That is what we are called to do. And this week we're going to be talking about faithful soldiers finish well. Faithful soldiers, don't you want to finish well? Don't you want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? I mean, what words to hear from our Lord and Savior when we pass through that curtain called death and we enter into his presence, which we all will, some sooner and some later. But we all will pass through that curtain. And we will stand before our Lord and give an account of our lives. And won't it be great when he says, you've been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You've been justified. Well done, good and faithful. And put your name in. Okay? If you can. If you can. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this wonderful book of Ephesians. Thank you that you've taught us such deep doctrinal truths. And you've also taught us how to live this thing out on this side. And Lord, I ask you today to touch each one of our hearts. What we don't know, please teach us. And what you do teach us, as always, help us to apply it. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 18, those who finish well will pray. Those who finish well will pray. It goes from the armor of God, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and he transitions right into praying in the Spirit, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We're praying for each other, all the saints. Now, those prepared pray. We have our armor on. We're fully equipped, prayed up warriors. And buddy, when we have our armor on, when we are prayed up, we are formidable opponents of the kingdom of darkness. You understand that? We are formidable. When do you pray? Well, I don't know when you pray. It's usually when it's a crisis, okay? It's usually a crisis. Most of the time, prayer is relegated to when I really need something. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, prayer. You know, please help me, Lord. When it's an emergency, 911 prayers. Crisis prayers, okay? Those, that's okay to pray, but that's usually when we hit it. When there's no other, you ever hear this one? That's all we can do is pray. Like there's nothing, no, we get to pray. It isn't that's all we can do is pray. We get to pray. Desperation. When it's so bleak, we better pray about this. The last gasp thing, you know. When do you pray? When does the Scripture teach us? Always. In the morning you pray. Through your day when you pray. When I lie down, when I get up. My whole life gets consumed with my connection with my Lord. It doesn't end with my 3 seconds on the floor in the morning. It follows me through my day. Like the Jews in the Shema in Deuteronomy 6:4. Like frontlets before my eyes are the Word of God. I take them all through my day. I share them with my kids. I share them with everyone that is around me. God is involved in my day. He's involved in my life. Not just the crisis attack, folks. In every aspect of it. Praying with all prayer. Group prayer. Individual prayer. Silent prayer. Shouting prayer. Walking prayer. Kneeling prayer. Whatever you can think of prayer. Pray, 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 and keep praying. All day. That's our spirit. Now, the problem is what exactly is prayer? Most of the time you think about it as talking with God, but I think it's a little bit more than that. And I wrote down here, it's to practice the presence of God. Practicing the presence of God all through my day. I want to be remember him. And I can think many times when I'm at work in particular, when you're on full speed ahead, and you're all consumed with what's going on, and I can remember many hours where I haven't thought about the Lord, and then he just comes to me, and maybe he's just trying to get my attention or something, I don't know, but I go, oh Lord, I'm sorry, I just kind of forgot you there for 12 hours or something, but I say, Lord, I'm sorry, I want to reconnect with you, and just in a moment you can reconnect with your God. Be ready. Prayer. The main thing about prayer is that prayer changes me. Prayer changes me. That's an important thing to remember. Why? Because I'm in the presence of God. And all the stuff in my life fades away in the presence of God. You realize that? It all fades away. In his presence, his will becomes my will. I start seeing things a little bit differently when I'm in the presence of God. I'm in his presence. It's a reason the psalmist can say, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. The psalmist was practicing the presence of God. That psalm goes like this, trust in the Lord and do good. Psalm 37:3. Dwell in the land and feed on its faithfulness. Now remember, to a Jew, the land was everything. It was a blessing beyond blessings. And then the scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. That's been taken out of context so many times. People think, I can get my Rolex, I can get my car, I can get my house, I can get my. And by the way, get my. That's not what that means. That word delight means that delight is soft, pliable heart. And when my heart is soft and pliable, I approach God in a submissive attitude, desiring his will to be my will. Okay? That is what delight means. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give the desires of your heart. I'm in line with his will. And when you are in line with his will, you will get what you have prayed for. Okay? Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. I'll tell you, people will know what your cause is. People will know what your cause is. He will give you favor. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. But listen to this. And this is a word for everybody here. Okay? Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. If the whole world is prospering because they have done things illegally under the table, whatever's going on in whatever situation you can think of, because of the man who brings wickedness, who brings wicked schemes to pass, cease from anger. That's our job, not to become jealous because someone else is prospering. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. I know who I am in the Lord. And if someone else has been promoted above me, so be it. I will trust my God. I will delight myself in the Lord. I know that he will give me the desires of my heart because my heart is in line with his heart. That's a whole different program than my flesh. Because my flesh wants a lot of stuff that it really isn't in line with the will of God. Big difference. The will of God and the will of man. Morning, noon, night, all day, practice the presence of God. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in line with the Holy Spirit. Submitting to the Holy Spirit. That's what I want to do. I want to pray in the Spirit. I want to pray according to what he wants, not what I want. He helps us to pray according to God's will, not our wills. And folks, there's many times we don't know how to pray appropriately. And in Romans 8, 26, it says, the Spirit intercedes with us with groans. And what does it say? That are not audible. You cannot hear it. That's not speaking about tongues. These are unaudible things. Not uttered, not audible, not heard. What is prayer? Prayer is the practice of the presence of God. It's a place where we have, where pride is abandoned, where hope is lifted, where supplication is made. Prayer is the place of admitting our need of adopting humility and claiming dependence upon God. God, I need you more than I need anything else in this world. Prayer is the privilege of touching the heart of the Father through the Son, the Lord Jesus. Prayer is practicing the presence of God in your life. But one of the things you have to consider about prayer, have you ever wondered this? I'm sure you have. Why are my prayers not working? I'm trying to practice the presence of God. Why in the world are my prayers not working? Well, there's some hindrances to prayer. And I've listed several of them here. Prayer can be hindered. Number one, sin hinders prayer. Sin hinders prayer. Unconfessed sin. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I have sin in my heart, God will not hear your prayer. Unconfessed, unrepentant sin is a block between you and God. Number two, selfishness it hinders prayer. James 4:3, you ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Our own flesh. You know, our flesh is powerful, folks. Your flesh wants its way. Your flesh wants its way. Your flesh wants to be glorified. Whenever you're showing off, believe me, I know this showing off thing quite well. Whenever you do it, that's flesh. That's not spirit. That's flesh. Identify it. Learn to identify it. Selfishness hinders prayer. We can pray out of our flesh. Doubt hinders prayer. James 1:6, but let a man ask in faith without doubting. For one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. We have to come before God believing that he will work in our situation. Pride hinders prayer. Pride hinders prayer. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble, James 4:6. And I'll tell you, this is going to be a crushing blow to a lot of guys. You've heard this before. You probably don't want to hear it again. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, get ready. You better have a good relationship with your wife. if you want to have your prayers not hindered. It says this, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding. Dwell with them in peace and respect. That's what that's talking about. In peace and respect for my bride. I'm dwelling with her in that manner with understanding. You know what that means? It's the husband's responsibility to know his wife. Know what she likes. Know what she doesn't like. Know what makes her angry. Know what makes her happy. They have an intimate, deep, you're concerned about her above yourself. That's loving your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Honoring the wife as the weaker vessel. You are to care for her. And as being heirs together, we're both children of God, of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. And in case you want to know what that word hindered means, it means cut down, cut off. Not just it's going to just maybe make it through and squeeze through it again. No, cut off. We have a huge responsibility, dads and husbands, not exasperating our children and knowing our wives. The home rises and falls with leadership. Everything does. And the men are given the responsibility to be servant leaders, not king leaders, not dictatorial leaders, servant leaders, giving for your family, giving for your home. Watch out, folks, for hindrances to prayer, because they exist. You want to know why heaven seems blocked? Just examine these things. It's just a few of them, okay? Verse 19 and 20. Those who finish well are ambassadors of Christ. Those who finish well are going to be ambassadors of Christ. Verse 19 and 20. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak it boldly as I ought to speak. This guy was literally in chains because you remember where he was? These are the prison epistles. Philippians, Philemon, Colossians, and Ephesians. He's chained to a Roman soldier. That's where we get the imagery for the armor. And he says, I'm in chains, but I'm still an ambassador of the Lord Jesus. I'm still an ambassador of the Lord Jesus. I'll emphasize this more in just a second. We resent him. What is an ambassador? Well, an ambassador is a representative of his king to other countries. And we are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of light going out into the kingdom of darkness. That is why he says so frequently, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You are an ambassador taking the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus into the kingdom of darkness. And remember, when you're under spiritual attack, you put your gospel shoes on, you are digging, there should already be on. Somebody should have given me a dinging on that one. Already on. Get your cleats in. Got your stance. You're ready for the attack. Okay? You're digging in. Got your sword. Got your helmet. Okay? That whole thing. But when the attack is off, because he's not 24-7 attacking you, then we are going advancing into the kingdom of darkness. Advancing into the kingdom of darkness. That's what we are to do with the gospel of peace. So, with your armor on, praying in the Spirit, now you are a ready ambassador. You just don't jump up and go, I'm an ambassador now. And you're a nepios, a baby Christian. See, nepioses have to learn. We're all learning. There's a learning curve in this. But he eventually wants us all to become, there's different words for children. And one of them was huios, where the child takes on the characteristics of his father, mature. Jesus was a huios. He was a huios of his father, an exact representation of his father. With the armor on, you're an ambassador of the Lord Jesus with a life-saving message of the gospel. No matter where God has placed you, you are an ambassador. Whether you're a teacher, whether you're a plumber, whether you're a work in the mall or a post office, whether you're a student, wherever God has placed you, you are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. He is requesting that prayers be made for him as an ambassador. We must pray for one another that we have the strength to carry this message out into the world around us. Ambassadors pray for one another. Ambassadors pray for one another. You know why? Because you know what it's like to be an ambassador in a foreign land. It is not easy. It is not easy when you're the only one in the workplace that is set apart unto the Lord Jesus. When you're the only one at the school, when you're the only one on the team, when you're the only one in wherever. Because when you walk out of here, you get that only one feeling, don't you? You're the only one out there. You don't run into very many like us. And when you do, man, you just buddy up. It's like a magnet. We're stuck together. Boom, let's go through this together. Yeah. And I love the NIV version of this. Listen to what the NIV says. Paul says this, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me. Words may be given to me that I may fearlessly, emphasize that word, fearlessly make known the gospel of Christ, for which I am ambassador in chains. Pray that I declare it fearlessly, as I should. Notice fearlessly is twice in there for emphasis. The Holy Spirit doesn't do something for nothing or boldly. Two times. Not embarrassed, not a closet Christian. Not sometimes I'm a Christian and sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'm acting like a kingdom of God person. Sometimes, no. We're an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. I represent him with my whole life all the time. That's the goal. That's what he has you in a process of being conformed to the likeness to. Not a chameleon. I'm here one time. I'm over here another time. I'm back. Useless. Useless. If you're going to walk in both worlds, don't even tell them that you're in the kingdom of light. Because it's, you know what comes out? The most famous words. Hypocrite. All you Christians are hypocrites. And I would answer that, look in the mirror. If you want to see a hypocrite, just look right in the mirror. Because we're all mask wearers to some extent. That's what a hypocrite is, a mask wearer. We're not looking like we really are. But folks, God's goal is to conform us to his likeness. So less and less and less, we are seeing us. And we are seeing him, the Lord Jesus. That's what we want. Not embarrassed, not a closet Christian, not afraid of what other people think. What are you to fearlessly make known? The gospel. And you know what the gospel is? Simply and plainly, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Jesus came, he died for our sins, he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, he took my sin debt, he took the sin debt of the entire world upon himself, and whoever avails himself of forgiveness of sins can be in his family. It's just that simple. That's the gospel message. Doesn't have to be deep, doesn't have to be even well thought out. You just have to have a few key things in place. We all need a Savior. And if folks, if we do not tell them, who will? God has chosen to give us the responsibility of sharing the gospel. Of sharing the gospel. In the church of Ephesus, they told the culture. And they impacted the culture. And remember Acts 19:10 last time? So all in Asia heard the word. Paul was in chains and he was still an ambassador. He was isolated to a Roman soldier, but he was still an ambassador. Your situation does not change your calling. Your disappointments does not change your calling. If there's anything that you learn early on, this is like the 8 billionth time I've said this, life is not fair. You might as well start, that starts right quick and just goes through your whole life. It's not fair. But just because it's not fair and I don't get treated right, doesn't mean I have the right to stop being an ambassador of the Lord Jesus. It's just that simple. Verse 21 and 22. Says this, faithful soldiers finish well. Faithful soldiers finish well. Verse 21 and 22. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing. Paul's concerned about this church knowing that he's okay attached to a Roman guard. Tychius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose. He's an ambassador, Tychius is, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Tychius, notice what he's called. Don't you want to be called a brother? A faithful minister. A minister, you know what a minister is? A servant. You ever see bumper stickers? Or car? This just kills me. Where you see these guys with the license plate and says, minister across the back. It's like, I should get a private parking spot. No, but they don't put servant across the back. That's what you are as a minister. A servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. A faithful minister. And I might add, a faithful soldier. A faithful soldier and a faithful ambassador of the Lord Jesus. That's what Tychius was. And I'll tell you, don't you want this to be said about you? A brother, a minister, a faithful soldier, an ambassador of the Lord Jesus. That's what that person was. That's what that person is. Yeah, you bet. This close friend was sent by Paul to tell this church how Paul was doing. He was saying, telling them, I'm okay no matter where I am, no matter what condition I'm in. He's in prison. I'm okay. All is well. And listen to this statement, indelibly imprinted on all of our minds. Our circumstances do not change his calling. For Paul, his circumstances did not change his calling. He didn't say, I give up being an ambassador. I'm sick and tired of being chained. I've been beat too many times. I've been shipwrecked too much. I've been bit by snakes. I am sick of this thing. His circumstances did not change his calling. That is so important for us because we are alone out there and we might feel like, I am tired of this. Don't let your feelings dictate your actions. Don't do it. Please. Paul's situation did not dictate his attitude also. He says, I'm okay. Tell them. Though I'm an ambassador in chains, I'm okay. Tychius, tell them. Tell them, Tychius, though I'm chained, I'm a faithful soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though I'm chained, tell them, Tychius. Tell them. All you other ambassadors out there, pray for me. By the way, to all you other ambassadors out there, Tychius, tell them to pray for me. Pray also for me whenever I open my mouth, Tychius, that I may make known the gospel of Christ. Pray. Tell them to pray for me, Tychius. That's the same for us. Pray also for me, no matter where we're at. And I'll tell you what. Paul was chained to a Roman guard, but you know that the word of God penetrated the courts of Nero. The heart of pagan Roman rule heard the life-saving message of the gospel. And you know that many in the court of Nero himself were saved. That's an ambassador, not affected by his conditions, chained to a Roman soldier. The heart of Rome was changed. Ever wonder why God has placed you where you are? Duh. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, you got that right. Yeah. And I'll tell you this, remember this, please don't forget this, tough assignments require tough people. Tough assignments, you might have a tough assignment, it requires a tough, thick-skinned ambassador in that situation. You may not like your assignment, join the crowd. Join the crowd. There was a guy called King Henry III. He didn't like his assignment either. Listen to what's written about him. And by the way, no one ever said that faithfulness was going to be an easy assignment, did they? Just look at the guys in Scripture. No one said being faithful to your calling is going to be an easy assignment. King Henry wanted to change his assignment. In the 11th century, King Henry III of Bavaria grew tired of court life and the pressures of being a monarch. He made application to Prior Richard at a local monastery. He wanted to become a monk, asking to be accepted as a contemplative and spend the rest of his life in the monastery. Your Majesty, said Prior Richard, do you understand that the pledge here is one of obedience? That it will be hard because you have been a king? I understand, said Henry. The rest of my life I will be obedient to you as Christ leads you. Then I tell you what to do, said Prior Richard. Go back to your throne and serve faithfully in the place where God has put you. When King Henry died, a statement was written, the king learned to rule by being obedient. The king learned to rule by being obedient. Now listen to this statement. When we tire of our roles and responsibilities, it helps to remember God has planted us in a certain place and told us to be a good accountant or a teacher or mother or father. Christ expects us to be faithful where he puts us. And when he returns, we'll rule together with him. It will be worth it all. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And I'm telling you, the harder your assignment, the greater the reward. The tougher the journey, the greater the reward. Because your faithfulness will bring that. God is a rewarder. He is worth it. Your situation must not dictate your attitude, folks. Now that's easy words to say, hard to live out. But we're called to do that. Verse 23 and 24, and we'll be done. Faithful soldiers, farewell. A faithful soldier's farewell. Verse 23 and 24, Paul says these words, closing the book of Ephesians. He closes it the same way that he opens it, with peace and grace. Peace to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Let that resonate with you. Amen. In sincerity, amen. He ends this with peace and grace. And Paul, being a Jewish guy, has a view of shalom, doesn't he? He has a view of shalom. Shalom, being a Hebrew. Shalom, again, is more than just simply peace. It is complete peace. As I'm at peace wherever I'm at, is a feeling of contentment, completeness, wholeness, well-being, and harmony. But notice, it is for those who love the Lord Jesus with sincerity. With sincerity. And grace, charis, favor, kindness, acceptance, grace of God is promised to those who love the Lord Jesus in sincerity. Grace and peace are not just nice words to close with, but it's the truth of what Jesus offers us in his family who believe in him. If we walk in sincerity, half-hearted Christians will not experience the peace of God and not sense the grace of God. He's already graced us. But that favor that we want so badly with God and with man, if we aren't walking with him properly, we end up missing it. We can walk so much deeper. Just a final thought. As a faithful soldier who finishes well, think about this. The grace of God is there to see you through it all. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care if it's illness. I don't care if it's kid issues. I don't care if it's work issues. I don't care if it's issues. Just count them issues. That the grace of God is there to see you through it all as you serve him day by day. Number two, we are to be concerned about the spiritual welfare of others. Remember, pray also for me, that when I open my mouth, praying for one another. We need each other. That's why the body life is so important. That's why being isolated is so damaging. We need one another. And then finally, the prayer warriors for other believers. We're to be prayer warriors for other believers. And guess what? Remember the shield of faith? The shield of faith is linked together. My shield with your shield. The second row shield over us. We are linked together. Prayer links us together. We are stronger together than separated. And I think of the shield of faith when I think about this. Spiritual welfare of others, prayer warriors, prayer warrior for other believers. Shield to shield together, folks, we are strong. Strong together. Old soldiers do die. And old soldiers do fade away. But the faithful Christian soldier looks forward to a home, don't they? Look forward to a homecoming with the Lord. And with all the other saints in glory, won't that be just a wonderful time? We meet our loved ones in heaven. You know, the crescendo of heaven is the Lord Jesus. When you get to heaven, you're not going to be looking for Andy and Uncle and brothers and sisters. I mean, you think you are on this side. But when you get there, it's going to all be all about him, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be, where I want Jesus, right there. And I just have this great picture of him just grabbing hold of us and giving us a great big hug. Well done. Welcome. You served me while you were there. Isn't that just so warm? And after you've done that for maybe a millennium of time, hugging him, and then you might say, hey, well, I'd like to talk to my brother now. He might be right there with you. You know. But it's a great picture. Old soldiers do die and fade away. We have a home one time, and we will be reunited with our loved ones. We have the strong example in Scripture of three faithful soldiers. There was a Christian soldier named Tychius. He was a brother. He was a minister. He was a faithful soldier. There was a Christian soldier named Paul. And I call Paul my brother. I call him my brother. He was also a minister, and he is also a faithful soldier and an ambassador. And folks, there is the Christian soldier, you. And search your name. And search your name. What will keep you going until that glorious homecoming? It's God's grace and God's peace. His shalom. His grace. His mercy. Just as it did Paul and just as it did Tychius. What a great way to end a great book. What a great way to end a great letter. From God to you, peace and grace. Remember, faithful soldiers, finish well. That's what you want. Finish well. Well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this time to study your word. And Lord, we are so grateful for Paul's missionary journeys and his time in prison, that we've been able to benefit from that. This letter to the Ephesians, Lord, that you've taught us so much of the deep things of doctrinal truths. You've taught us the deep things of how to live out our faith. Thank you for what you have taught us. Holy Spirit, right now I ask you to speak to each person in their area of need. We all hear things differently. All this message hits different people at different places. You know where the need is. And I ask that you'll touch hearts individually. That you'll draw people to yourself. And that people will do business with you. But if there's repentance that needs to take place, let there be repentance. Confession, let there be confession. If there's somebody that is not born again of the Spirit, I pray that today will be the greatest day of their life when they can nail this down and know that Jesus Christ died for their sins, took all their sin debt, just believe and receive the gift. Lord, I ask for your miracle, the new birth, but I also ask you for the miracle of us being more and more conformed to the likeness of you. May we put away the things that have drug us down. May we be men and women of character, men and women of God that are ambassadors, real ambassadors of the Lord Jesus, not phony baloney. There's been enough of that in Christendom. May we be truly anchored in your word and represent you with excellence. The time is short. The King is coming. And Lord, help us to be mindful of that, that we will stand before you soon, soon, and give an account of our lives. And Father, more than anything, I am grateful for that soon and very soon, the King is coming. The King is coming. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the great promise of your return. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.